Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Anything. I just want to lay in my bed.
What's wrong with that? Just feel like picking up my phone. Keeping kind of chill today. 9:46, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. One of the stories that everyone has been following over the past couple of weeks is this spread of the coronavirus that started in China. They've quarantined in China. They've actually shut cities down in China. But now we've had a case pop up here in the Chicago area. And last night, a case was discovered in the Los Angeles area, giving us even more concern here in the U.S. How do you protect yourself from all of this? For all things medical, we love to check in with our friend Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Hello there, my friend. Long time. I have not spoken with you. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dean. How about yourself?
Doing pretty well. Always a little bit concerned, though, because, you know, I'm on planes all the time. You hear stories like this with viruses that are being spread and now popping up in our own backyard, literally. What can you tell us about this virus, how it's spread? And, you know, I guess the biggest question is, how do we protect ourselves against something like this?
Yeah. And this is very interesting. I mean, when we look at history, we look back at other coronaviruses, we know the impact that SARS had. You know, that virus lasted about 9 months, but killed quite a few people. And then the MERS coronavirus as well in 2012, and this is the latest. But everyone has to realize that coronaviruses, for the most part, are very normal. There's 7 different coronaviruses. 4 of them cause a common cold. We've all had them. You've had them. I've had them. And in those, the body's immune system can fight them off. And these, we're a little bit more concerned because the body hasn't seen this virus, and you have to have a good immune system, it appears, to really be able to fight it off well.
I didn't know that coronavirus was sort of an umbrella term that included SARS and MERS and some of the others that you'd mentioned. I thought it was, you know, something like a brand new strain, but apparently kind of a brand new strain of the virus. I presume that this is something that the body has not seen and had to fight, and that the medical community, hasn't really seen yet to develop an antibody to it.
Correct. So it is. It is a brand new virus. So they call these novel coronaviruses versus common. So there's been 3 of them, like we said, and the body really doesn't. The body is still trying to figure out, wait, who is this? Why is it? And how do I fight it? So it's interesting that the first case was really noticed on December 31st. And here we are just a month later, and we know quite a bit about this virus. So that's kudos to the scientists and the CDC and the World Health Organization to jump on it as quickly as they have. But we do have that concern. This is not a virus where we are going to have a vaccine for it in any time. We aren't going to have medications to treat it. So that's why you're seeing the defense strategy right now is to identify and isolate, you know, the 3 cases in the United States. We've identified them. Now we're isolating them. We're really not giving them major treatment. They're all in very stable condition. We just don't want them to spread it anywhere else outside of them.
Yeah, so that it doesn't get worse. What are the symptoms? How might somebody know if they have been exposed? Are they cold-like or flu-like symptoms that somebody would develop?
Yep, and that's the big problem, Dean. We're right in the middle of flu season, right? So the United States, we get 10 million cases of influenza every year. We hospitalize 200,000 people. We have about 40,000 deaths every year. Well, the symptoms of the novel Chinese virus that we're seeing are the exact same symptoms that we see in influenza. People are going to get a fever. They're going to have body aches. They're going to have a cough. They're going to get short of breath. So really, it's how do you find that needle in the haystack to know this one's the coronavirus and we need to isolate that person versus this is influenza. They're going to run the course and we have some medications that might help them.
So, you know, we've seen all the footage on television of people, mostly in China, but now people who are arriving in the United States from other countries wearing these masks. Is that the best protection against this? It's obviously an airborne virus, I would presume, or we wouldn't be seeing the masks the way that we're seeing them out right now.
Correct. It's called a droplet precaution. So once it does get airborne, whether it's from coughing, whether it's from sneezing into your hands, sneezing, those are the things that are going to aerosolize this virus. And then we are going to, unfortunately, touch something or inhale those. So wearing a mask is one of the defense mechanisms we have. We're not sure exactly how good that is right now because it is so early in the cases of this. And I think really what we're talking about when you look at the impact, it's really, are we getting the true story out of China? You know, 2,000 cases reported with 56 deaths, and yet we hear that they're building a pop-up quarantine facility for up to 1,000 beds. So are we getting the true numbers, and are we trying to minimize the potential impact to the world? Mm-hmm. I think that's where the concern is.
Very, very, very interesting. So the best way that we can protect ourselves right now, should we also be running around in these masks? Should, you know, I'm like one of these people that wash my hands, you know, at a moment's notice. Anytime I touch anything, I'm washing my hands or Purelling like crazy. Is that the best protection against something like this?
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, the chance of you catching this versus influenza is night and day. So you fly a lot, you travel a lot. We know that airplanes are the one time in your life you will sit 1 foot away from somebody who is coughing, hacking, has a fever. Anywhere else in the world or anywhere else in your day, you would get up and move. And unfortunately, in airline flights, we don't have that capability. So having a mask with you when you travel is not a bad idea. You may not need it, but at least having one in case one of your people around you is coughing. And to clean the environment as much as you can. We control our environment, obviously, in our workplace, in our home, but we get into an airplane that hasn't been cleaned, or they can't technically clean it enough every time. Very wise to bring some wipes to wipe down your area, turn that vent on, but push it away from you so the air circulates away from you, but at least it's circulating, and try to clean your environment. That's the best you can do right now to avoid any of this.
Yeah, I've started bringing wipes on the plane with me, and before I sit down, I wipe down the armrests, I wipe down the tray, the little thing that holds the tray, the little, I don't know what you call it, but, you know, the thing that when it folds up into the seat in front of you, it holds the tray up there. Anything that somebody else might have touched, I try to wipe it down with the wipes that I'm bringing on. And of course, you know me, you've seen me. I do walk around in a toxic waste suit most of the time anyway. Just for style. I just do it mostly for style.
It's very fashionable, right?
Yeah. And very comfortable to wear. It's not binding in any way.
Yeah. But you're doing everything that's right. And probably the one thing that you didn't mention that I always tell people is, you know what? Bring your own material to read on the airline.
Yeah.
Don't pull out the thing to see what drinks they have or to see where the exits are. Listen to the flight attendants. People grab those magazines, they cough into those magazines, and they put them back, you know. Yeah. So bring your own material. Leave that stuff there right now.
Right.
And, you know, if you know what you want to drink, you don't need to pull out the little laminated card to see, because who knows, you know, the flight before you, if they had coughed on it or if they had touched it.
I would have never thought of that. And I do occasionally look and see, well, what kind of lunch do they have on the plane today? What kind of sandwich do I want to get? And you look at that thing. Also, you know, we're talking about wiping everything down. Most of the planes now have touch screens. And, I wipe down the screen. I wipe down anything that might have been touched. I try to wipe down and just am constantly Purelling myself.
Yep. And you're doing absolutely right. When we look at viruses, Dean, you know, influenza virus, how long can it live on a touch surface? Not really long, but long enough. But you look at other viruses like the measles virus, can live for hours and hours, you know, just on a surface. So, you know, we're not just talking about coronavirus and influenza, but we're talking about keeping yourself healthy. And there's a lot of viruses that are sustainable outside of the body for hours that you can pick up and infect yourself, essentially.
Yeah. Coronavirus, is that one of the ones that could be airborne for a couple of hours, do you think?
That's the biggest problem right now. We know that the incubation period is going on, you know, from 7 to 10 days. People are saying, well, wait, if they were screening people, how did these people get back into the United States? Well, they got back in the United States because they didn't have symptoms when they left China. They didn't have symptoms when they landed. And 3 or 4 days later, they're getting symptoms. So we know that there's that incubation period. So that's one problem. And the other problem is we don't know enough about it. We don't have enough samples to say, all right, cough in a petri dish, cough on a surface, and let's test those.
Right.
All of that is happening right now. But we do know it can be spread from person to person. These are viruses that are often coming from animals. So your hope is that one person will get infected, but they won't spread it. But unfortunately, this one, it can be spread from human to human.
Yeah, that seems to be the insidious part of this whole thing. That on top of, as you said at the beginning of the conversation, we're in regular flu season right now.
Yep.
How are we doing against that? Are the vaccines pretty effective this year?
Yeah, we're doing okay. You know, this has been a weird influenza season. You know, normally we'll see influenza A early in the season and influenza B later. We had a big run-up of influenza B, which unfortunately we didn't have a great match. And you saw the impact with pediatric deaths and deaths in seniors. That has dropped down now. And we're kind of keeping our fingers crossed that we're not going to see a second bump of the A strain, because that's the one we know that can cause deep pneumonias and usually causes more harm than the influenza B, which is usually mild, but this year was not.
Yeah. Always good to talk to you, Kevin. Thank you so much for taking a couple of minutes this morning. Dr. Kevin Most is the Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Medicine, Central DuPage Hospital. I hope you have a great Sunday today, Kev. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dean.